Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Tim with a high fly out in the deep left center. Gordon is back at the fence, and it's a home run. Gordon tried to leap and take it away, but he couldn't get it. And the White Sox lead 3-2. That's his sixth home run of the season. With 3-2 coming. Line and caught. Tim Anderson went way up, and he took away a hit from Kepler. Anderson at second, Moncada at first. The pitch hit in the air out into deep left. It's back there, and it is gone! Adam Engel in for Luis Robert. Just hit a three-run homer.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get it.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. ESPN 1000, Saturday morning. Mark Zander, Brian Hanley. Is it time to be excited yet, Brian? Two in a row. I don't think
we
that makes a winning
Tony.
Streak. Yeah.
We love
Oh,
Tony.
You are so... Yeah. Oh, my God.
We love Tony.
Already. Already the cheer. Boy, that's not premature. Are we patting Tony on the back for these wins? I mean, is he responsible for this? I've seen several people on Twitter say, can we please leave Tony alone right now? Did he do this?
Speaking of leaving him alone, did you see that picture of him on Twitter? There's a bar called Crossroads. It was a week ago Thursday. Someone in the bar, and the bar looked really empty. And Tony, purportedly from this picture, was sitting in the bar alone because the story had come out. And we have so much to talk about because we found out about Kenny Williams addressing the team via Bob.
Yeah. That was exciting to read.
Ozzie going off on everybody.
Everybody. Like not anybody was safe from Ozzie Guillen.
It seems like it was 3 weeks worth of everything in this past week, right?
It was, and we have 5 hours this weekend to talk to you about
the guy who was supposedly in the bar and took the picture of Tony.
Now, I missed this.
Do you think that's what Tony was talking to the bartender about Kenny about the team being a cliquish team and everything that, because we thought they all were too lovey-dovey, right? And then Bob Nightingale said there are cliques and the team doesn't get along. And, it was the opposite of, Frank Thomas and I thought everyone was talking, patting each other on the back and we're going to get them. Don't worry. There's no sense of urgency, right? And then Kenny supposedly goes in there and shakes up everyone and says it's time to start coming together and doing stuff. And he supposedly criticized the coaching staff and the manager. And
no one was safe from Kenny's wrath.
No, because we talked to Jesse about it, because you asked me on Saturday, is Kenny still actively involved? And
yeah, what is exactly his role? Well, apparently his role is to come in and tell people what time it is, what's expected.
Shouldn't that be Rick Hahn's job, by the way?
Well, you're splitting hairs now, aren't you, Brian? I don't know. We don't know, right? I mean, is Rick Hahn kind of Kenny's, as it's been, it was explained to us, Rick Hahn is kind of Kenny's, go do this. I said, do this. Now you go do this.
That's what Jesse said, right?
Right.
Rick, Kenny's still the big picture, big idea guy.
Uh-huh. And Rick is the guy that makes it happen. He follows the orders and he executes. Yep.
That's interesting because, Kenny, he's much more emotional than Rick. Rick is much more of an even keel guy, even though he said on this very station that when he was asked, do you get emotional during games when things aren't going well? And he said he'll be folding the laundry.
He'll throw stuff, yes.
The remote control can go against the wall and maybe the shirt with too much starch in it. I don't know. But it's interesting because that weekend was, the report's coming out and it's like people reading into it. Is this?
And not only that, but then we had Hendricks on the air here, right?
Yes.
Say that, maybe allude to maybe that was Dallas Keuchel that leaked that the clubhouse kind of had some issues, which is, okay.
Because people were reading into it like, is management finally setting up the exit for Tony and trying to, is what we say.
So if many players, twists and turns, Brian, this week.
Right. If the players quit on Tony, that's the only way Tony gets out,
right?
Whether it's Tony's decision or not. So then all of a sudden, you got a clubhouse rift, and, you got cliques, and you got, Tony's lost control of the clubhouse, and people are like, oh, maybe this is someone's planting these seeds publicly so that he may, maybe Tony, you know, decides it's
right.
Time to
and then Liam jumps on and says, you know, that that could have been, you know, I don't remember exactly how he put it, but it was, you know, suggested that maybe that was Dallas Keuchel on his way out, kind of saying that, you know, there were some issues and everything, which, you know, in retrospect, I mean, are you really going to trust that? So, yeah, lots of twists and turns.
Well,
this week.
Hey, the good news is they have a 4-game win streak and they have a chance to go over 500 for the first time since they were, what, 22-21?
Right.
And more importantly, they you know, the way the Cleveland series started, it's like, oh, my good Lord, here comes Tony getting questioned about how intentional walks are issued and, you know, can they pick themselves up off the mat? How important are these two games, right, today and tomorrow?
Very important. And you know, it's funny. I walked in here thinking, a 2-game win streak, because I'm just so focused on the Twins. Of course, it is a 4-game win streak, but the Twins are super focused right now. And the past two games, you know, the ball hitting second base, I think it was it Steve Stone or Benetti that said, no, it was Ozzy. He was talking about Bobby Cox, who managed for years in Atlanta.
Sure. Yeah,
Ozzy said, you know what? Bobby Cox once said, when the ball starts doing weird things and it helps you out, you know you have something on your side. And when that ball hit second base yesterday, it just bounced around. Ooh. That's the stuff that was happening to us. We were victims of that. Now we're starting to see that we are benefiting from those types of weird things here and there. But the play has been, obviously, the offense has showed up. Kopech didn't have a great outing, but like a good team does, they pick him up and they score runs behind him. It's been nice to see if for two games or the four. I mean, I'll give you the four, but again, I'm just so super focused on the Twins.
Don't sleep on the Guardians, because, you know, and we'll talk about them before we get out of two, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, the way that bottom half of the first inning was going, I'm like, oh boy, this, you know, this is not good. You've got Luis Robert, who's got lightheadedness. There's a new one for the IL.
I think Ozzy made a joke that maybe he was hungover.
Okay, and you know,
I don't know about that.
I'll say this about Ozzy,
but you know that you know Mickey Mantle must have said he felt lightheaded at some point.
Oh boy, like every day, because Ozzy, when covering Ozzy as a manager, and he'd be sitting in the dugout, and especially when he was in good mood, every story he told, it had nothing to do with like in-game stuff. He was just talking about he and Freddy Garcia or something, like, well, we were drunk and we were at the bullfights. Every story, we were drunk. I mean, the first line of any Ozzy story, well, of course we were drunk.
And so that means Ozzy's used that excuse before, lightheaded.
Yes, exactly right.
I'm lightheaded.
Yeah. Well, that's, anyway, the way the ball was being kicked around and not fielded, I'm like, oh boy, this is, you know, not good, because God bless Adam Engel for getting in there and picking up where mm-hmm. Luis Robert left off.
But. Yeah, Luis, you know, as soon as he misjudged that ball and it got past him, it's like, of all the things we had to worry about this team, I never thought defensive for Luis Robert was going to be a concern. Now, right. We've seen mm-hmm. a few things this year in recent times. I don't know what that is. Everybody, you know, I don't care if you're a Gold Glover, you're still could have it. He's not, but you could have a bad day. And when I saw that, I thought that's something that wasn't on the map of all the things that we could be concerned about. I didn't know we had to be concerned about that.
You don't need that one to be added.
No. But look, whatever's going on with him, I'm glad he said something. They took him out of the game, let him rest. We had Angle. He showed up. Obviously, he's a solid glove, and his bat showed up last night. Mm-hmm. And that's the team coming in and backing up their guy and, you know, taking a win. And Kopech has turned out to be that guy right now where he struggles early, and he gets stronger as he goes on through the game. And I thought if he can get out of that first inning without too much damage, and they tied it up, yeah, he's going to be okay, and he did get stronger throughout the game.
Yeah, and thank God for Johnny Cueto again, right? I mean,
hey, you know, that guy, last week we had a poll. Who is the most important pitcher on that staff? I don't care. Right now, Cueto's got to be it. I mean, that guy is such a stud, absolute stud.
Dylan Cease would probably argue with.
Well, yeah, maybe
spoiler
so.
For
but the idea that he is such a workhorse.
Yep.
And it's such a great story. and he gives them so many quality innings, and he's not overpowering. Dylan Cease is overpowering. Yep. Cueto is not, but he just knows how to do it. The baseball IQ is high with Johnny Cueto, and it's just such a great story. I think I tweeted out that he's this year's Billy Hamilton for the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. So
he is. It's look, a great story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, now you can't go Weekend at Bernie's in Minnesota, right? You can't be Bernie, right? So you got to keep, don't stop.
Pedal to the metal.
Yeah, you got, I mean, and we got a Twitter poll question to that effect, too. What, how's the feel good going into the All-Star break, right? Well, what do
yeah,
you
the White
see?
Sox, yeah, White Sox are finally at 500. Yay, yay, yay. What do they have to do? What else do they need to do before the break to actually have turned the corner, quote unquote, on the season? Win 3 of 4 versus the Twins, clean sweep of the Twins, or just keep hitting those home runs? Now, I put that in there because you notice that home runs equate to wins.
Yeah. I mean, I said that 3 weeks ago, and, yep. and some people took umbrage to that. And I'm like,
yeah, we had a caller here that said, yeah, you know, no, that's not it. That's not it. Well, it is it. It's the quickest way to get somebody
the
over the plate
right now. Right. I mean, it's and look, they were when we talked about it a couple weeks ago, there were only two or three teams with fewer home runs than your Chicago White Sox. And I think they've leapfrogged at least three teams to this point. So, I mean, it's not great. But there's now six teams behind them, and that's in 2 weeks, right?
Right.
You've got to start hitting the ball out of the ballpark when teams are giving you the possibility to do it.
Yep, and it makes immediate impact, obviously, and we've done it with people on base, which yep. is obviously the best situation. That Luis Robert grand slam
Ooh.
Was unbelievable.
Ooh.
That thing was out of the park in about 2 seconds. It was a line drive. If those seats weren't there, that would have kept going. That could have been a 600-foot home run.
I tweeted out, if we can get that audio before we get out of here, because I tweeted out the Minnesota Twins TV play-by-play.
How did they say it? That's a grand slam.
I mean, it's the sound of the bat. Well, that's a grand slam.
Yeah, right away.
I mean, it was like maybe a second. It wasn't even, you know, high and deep and could be.
None of that. They didn't have time. Brian, they did not have time to use those adjectives.
He just knew it. I mean, you know, right. he hurt that ball. He punished that ball. And he's like, that's grand slam.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the exit velo was north of 110.
Wow.
Just ridiculous.
Spank
just
it.
And there have been so much said about Luis Robert expanding the strike zone and all of that, which is mm-hmm. absolutely true. And he's a young kid, right? At some point, he's going to tighten that up. How good is he going to be? And this is something that Steve Stone has said multiple times. How good is he going to be when he figures that part out?
Yeah. Look, it's, you know, again, don't stop now, boys. We had so much to talk about. And by the way, you know, a lot of people are heading to the split doubleheader today up at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
We're not letting the Cubs off the hook. It's about time. You know, shame on me. They're on the pay no mind list because, you know, no one really wants to talk about them. But I think it's time to talk about them because they're on the pace for 99 losses.
It's time to address the elephant in the room with the Cubs
head on.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll do that when we come back from the break. Take Owens on hold, and we want to talk to you about the White Sox, about the Cubs. We're here for you, 312-332-3776. Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Your Chicago White Sox 4-game winning streak. Currently, see what the Orioles are doing, Brian?
Yes.
It's insane. And the Mariners, too. Let's throw them in there. And the Orioles definitely had no solid expectations at all. The Mariners maybe perhaps a little more than that.
Oh, but they did going into the season, and then they turned into the Mariners again, and now they've won 12 in a row.
Right. But I'm saying the Orioles, there was nothing. There was nothing.
They have some good young talent on that team now.
And we saw it firsthand. Yeah. We saw it firsthand. They played us tough on the south side. And we weren't on top of our game.
We saw it on the north side, too. I actually saw Baltimore Orioles fans start chanting, "Let's go O's at Wrigley Field." That's how bad it's gotten. And that's when the bleacher fans are building beer cup snakes and not paying attention to their bad team.
Well, you were the one that said, people aren't paying attention to the Cubs much anymore. And I'm falling into that category. All my fandom is behind the White Sox. The Cubs, I appreciate what they're, you know, they're trying to do, the rebuild. It's never easy, but they did play the Orioles. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, and then lost to them because that's what the Cubs have been doing of late again. Look, it, as a Cubs fan, and want to hear from other Cub fans as we get through the show until 12:30, plenty of time to take your calls, 312-332-3776. As bad as low as your expectations may have been, and mine were pretty low, you know, this team is hard to get a handle on because going into the week, I think they had National League high 12 games that went into extra innings. Unfortunately, because they're a young team, a bad team, both, they're 3-9 in those extra inning games, right? So I guess the good news is that, you know, of their, whatever, 89 games, 12 of them, they got to extra innings, and they had won four series against some pretty good teams going into Los Angeles before they got spanked by the Dodgers.
Right, and when that was happening, Cap was awfully excited as if they were going to actually do something.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is what bad teams and young teams and both those types of teams do. You know, now they're on the pace to lose 99 games, and they can't win at home, and unfortunately, the Chicago White Sox can't win at home either. So, you know, if the White Sox are legit, after the break, because, you know, the four-game win streak is on the road because they like to win on the road.
Mm-hmm. They've got to come back and beat the Cards here.
Yeah, because, they, you know, the White Sox and Cubs have combined for 36 wins at home. And that's not
good enough. Combined, as you said. That's
the White
ridiculous.
Sox have 19 of those. Yep. I mean, okay, yay for them. That you got to be better, much better than that. But first things first, finish off what you're doing in Minnesota, what you start these first 2 days.
Yep, and we're going to the phones. Owen in Willowbrook wants to jump on ESPN 1000. Hey, Owen, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Just a thing that I really think is important that that's happened to the Sox over the last few games is, and I'm hoping it's happened, is Joe Kelly might have gotten right. Joe Kelly.
Yeah, what's with that, right? Like he flipped the switch.
Right. If he gets right, they can shorten the game and get Graveman and Hendricks, who've been doing the job all year, basically. And they can shorten the game. The other thing is that that was a key at bat for the Sox before Robertson's home run was Anderson taking a rear walk. When this team is patient and they walk, they can hit. And the thing the other day is, again, my favorite target on that team is Mikata. They let him off the hook because he had bases loaded, 3-1 count, and he swings out at a great pitch, grounds out to the first baseman, force it home. And then Roberts, who's normally not real patient, kind of got a break because the pitch before he hit the homer was a slider in the dirt from Gray. And the ump blew a check swing call. I thought it was a strike. But when he shows
patience, sometimes that stuff goes your way, that helps. I mean,
right. And you're right. When he shows patience, that guy's a stud. He's got to remember Abreu's hitting behind him.
Yep.
So eventually they got to come into him, but when he swings at those first one or two pitches, he's not as effective. And I think once Roberts learns to be patient, the kid is going to be something, you know. But again, if you're going to play Mikata, please get him out of the two hole. I mean, the other day he comes up base loaded, 3-1 count, chopper to first base. The other day, first and second, nobody out, 2-0 count. He pops up to the shortstop. Vaughn was hitting his best out of the two hole. I don't understand why La Russa just doesn't leave him.
Well, there's a lot of things we don't understand what Tony's doing. But I will say this, Owen, because other people are showing up and getting the job done, the Mancata issue isn't as large few games. And thankfully so, because thanks, Owen, for the phone call. You know, that may not go away anytime soon. But when you have the situation where the other players are producing, you know what? If Mancata, you know, is taking a little longer to get in the groove, if we're winning games, that's not a big story anymore.
Well, I mean, it's taken 2 years to get in the groove.
No, I understand that, Brian, but you know what I'm saying. The end result would
but
be
Mark,
the winning game. Yeah.
Okay, and I appreciate the guys are picking him up, and Vaughn's been terrific and clutch, and Angle comes up and is clutch yesterday. In the big picture, Mancata still is an issue. The idea was not to sneak into the playoffs as a wild card team.
Right.
The idea was to win this division impressively and to try to win a World Series. For that to happen, Mancata can't. And look, Tony, probably we talked about when he had him in the leadoff spot last Sunday. You know, he's trying to get him jump started. I don't know if that's even a possibility anymore. Maybe this is who he is now, unfortunately. Was it 2019 he had a good season?
Well, I don't think you or I agreed with putting him in the the first spot to jump something. That's ridiculous.
Right. And our caller's right. You know, Vaughn's really hitting well the second spot. And mm-hmm. you hate to see – we're trying to get Mankata going, so to the detriment of someone else. But, I mean, Vaughn obviously hasn't slowed down, if at all, this week, right? So, but if we talked about it. If you're going to realize your goals going into the season, your aspirations to be a World Series contending team, he's got to be a part of this. And it's great to say, you know, the other guys are picking him up, and they did this week. But, I mean, it's still an issue, and I don't know. Maybe this is just who the guy is.
Well, I see what you're saying. I'm not necessarily a Mankata apologist.
No,
I'm just enjoying right now the fact that that is not an issue that is keeping us from winning games. Now, no, you're right. I he needs to show up. He needs to be the player we thought he was going to be. And there have been a few occasions. I mean, Owen brought it up. He popped out when he had some people on base. But there have been times where he's hitting the ball hard, and he had a home run within the last few days.
Sure.
So let's not forget about that. He's hitting the ball hard. He's hit it to some people. It's slow. I see a little progress, a little, but it's been slow, and it's been too slow, and that I get. It's just nice that it's not such a glaring issue because others are picking it up, because not everybody's going to play to their full potential every day.
No,
that's
and
impossible.
I'm not asking him to do it every day. I'm asking him to do it, you know, a couple weeks of the month. I mean, unfortunately, it's a couple games every month. I mean, it's got to be better. And maybe, you know, I'm exaggerating. But to the caller's other point, wasn't Luis Robert 0-2 and Jose Abreu was 2-2 in those counts? And, you know, the pitcher lost them both. So that finally you're seeing some patience and guys working.
And that's
counts.
The one thing consistently, maybe with the exception, a couple of exceptions here and there, but that's something that we've seen in Minnesota. I think
absolutely.
The patience thing has made a tremendous difference. We've seen it consistently, and it pays dividends, and I hope everybody sees the direct correlation between that and the wins. And they keep it going because that's the one thing that hasn't been a consistent factor with the White Sox. And again, with Mankata, the fact he hit a home run the other day, I'm sure even you were appreciative of that because it seems like, okay, he does have talent. He just has to put it together consistently. And I'm hoping. And maybe I'm being.
I just want to see a week, a solid week, right? I mean,
right.
I want to see.
Well, I'm hoping that he's working towards that, and maybe it's pie in the sky, and maybe, as you said, maybe we're seeing who he actually is, and it doesn't get any better. But that home run certainly showed that it's in there. He just has to coax it out and be consistent.
I mean, he was in there when he got the $75 million deal or whatever it was. I mean, you know, that's you tied him up because you thought this was a good deal for the White Sox, too.
Right.
And now we know that it's $18 million going to $24 million in short order per season.
Thankfully, this story isn't over today. So hopefully it'll keep going. We just have to take care of the Twins. And again, we have a Twitter poll at ESPN 1000. The White Sox are finally 500. What else do they need to do before the break to actually have turned the corner on the season? Win 3 of 4 versus the Twins. They're going for win number 3 today as Lance Lynn is on the mound. Clean sweep of the Twins. Wouldn't that be nice? Or just keep hitting those home runs. Those home runs have been difference makers in the 4-game win streak that the White Sox currently
have. How big is Lance Lynn's start today, too?
It's a big one. It's a big one. And he's had his struggles since coming back from the IL.
The last one, not good.
Right.
Not good.
Right.
And we talked about it. You know, he was on the MLB.com list last week. 7 players who have to have really good second halves for the teams to turn things around. And unfortunately, Mankata was on that list, too. But, you know, they gave a pass basically saying that Lance, it's getting his sea legs. Well, you hope.
How long is it going to take?
Well, today you can't go out there and put up the numbers you put up last start.
Right.
You got to keep this momentum going.
Or if he doesn't have a strong performance, the offense has to back him up. You know,
if you're Tony, how quick's the hook? I mean, today.
Well, I would hope it's relatively quick.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got Lopez. He's available today. Should be right.
Well, I mean, you got the All-Star break in 2 days. So.
Right. throw out there who you have to stop babying people, and let's get that win. But hopefully Lance has a strong day on the mound. We've got a couple of callers to get to on the other side of this break. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back to talk to you at 312-332-3776.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000 on a gray Saturday, broadcasting live from the old National Bank studio on State Street. We've got some phone calls lined up here, stacked up. Here's George in River Grove. George, you don't look too happy. What's going on with you, bud? George. We ain't got George. Bye-bye, George.
Too bad.
Yeah, yeah. It said not happy on there, on the description. So, Brian, I was ready for somebody to start bitching about something, but all right.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. You're doing a good job today, too.
I learned from Fred.
Yeah, you did, crabby old guy. Jose on the northwest side. Let's talk to Jose. Hey, Jose, you're on ESPN 1000. What up, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing?
It's all good.
I'm calling because I'm in reference to the turning away from the Cubs. I'm part of that. I grew up, you know, just a Chicago baseball fan, and I'm watching more of the White Sox, although they could be frustrating. But with regards to being the big stuff like that, that's why I veered away from the Cubs, because, you know, it's frustrating and embarrassing for this city. I just feel like whenever they get back to being a winning team, I want them to keep Ross, because I really feel like he'll be able to guide the ship. But right now I'm definitely geared towards the White Sox, and I hope that Tony, at some point, he's able to find what he used to have with the Cardinals. Otherwise, and, you know, we're in for just an embarrassing season as well with them. Regarding the expectations that they have.
How far away do you think the Cubs are, Jose, in terms of getting back to winning? I mean, think about this.
Honestly, go ahead.
They're 20-38 against winning teams. Okay, you know, and their run differential is -85. Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? We have a Twitter poll question. It says, will the Ricketts family still own the team when they win their next World Series? And the possible answers are yes, no. Do great grandchildren count? And it seems like the Ricketts family has lost every ounce of goodwill that they earned by leading the team to its first World Series in over 100 years. But as a Cubs fan who's watching more Sox games these days, what do you think about the team you still care about?
I want to say 3 years, and I still think they're going to own the team, just because of the fact that, you know, money talks. So
they've invested a lot in that neighborhood. They've got to still own it.
Well, thanks, Jose, for the call. Yeah, the value of that franchise, Mark, they bought it for $850 million, give or take.
Yep.
And I remember being down when I was covering the Bulls. Mark Cuban was trying to buy the team from Sam Zell in the Tribune at
the time. Yes, he was.
And Mark Cuban, and it was 2008, 2009 when our last recession hit. And I remember being down in Dallas, and we were talking to Mark Cuban about the Cubs and you know, how serious he was. And he said, well, with the recession, like now, currently, we don't have a recession, but interest rates went up pretty appreciably in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he told Sam Zell, you're going to have to share some of the pain, because like the Ricketts family, Mark Cuban was going to have to finance his bid to buy the team. Now, the Ricketts, you know, ended up doing that too. And he said, basically, since now I'm going to have to pay more to borrow money, you're going to have to take less money for the team. And at some point he said, thanks, but no thanks, because Sam Zell wasn't going to play ball with them.
Right.
But so they end up $850 million, give or take. And the Forbes list of MLB franchises in March had them at almost $4 billion. And we'll get into it a little bit further before we get out of here, but they're one of the few teams who has actually made money last year, where a lot of teams are still taking COVID losses. They had operating income and revenue of $68 million to the good.
Right.
So at some point, even with the investment around Wrigley, if that thing gets to New York Yankees 6 billion area or the Dallas Cowboys 6-7
Yeah,
billion?
Well, look, they're in business. They're in business to make money, and if there's a profit to be had, maybe they will. Right. I my gut says they'll own it, but who knows? 312-332-3776. Want to mention that Len Casper is joining us at 10 a.m. We'll be talking about the White Sox. Before we get back to the White Sox, let's take another call on the Cubs. Jim in Aurora, you're on with Xander and Hanley. What's up?
Yes, guys.
Hey.
Brian, if you're a Cub fan, I would be livid. Look,
yeah, I am.
It was supposed to be a one-time rebuild, and that was when they got here. And if they're going to play with the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Astros and these other big market teams, you're in every year on every free agent. And what do? They go and they get Darvish, and then they realize, well, we got to back out.
Yeah, we're not paying him, yeah.
So you're supposed to be in, and they are not. And it's going to be a while. It's going to be quite a while before they can climb this ladder. They need a lot of pitching. every Cub fan should be livid.
Well, guess what? There's going to be maybe 60, let's say there's going to be 65,000 to show up for the split doubleheader today, aiding and abetting, right? And now some of those will be Mets fans because Baltimore had fans here. But I guarantee you part of the decision to bang yesterday's game was that, hey, we could get more people through the turnstiles on a Saturday by splitting the doubleheader and two, individual tickets. So I'm telling you, their Cubs are outdrawing the Sox by an average of 8,400 fans per game, according to Paul Sullivan's column today. Horrid baseball, losing baseball or not, 99 losses, that's the pace they're on. And yet they're going to have 65,000 minimum show up today because it's not going to rain and the sun's supposed to come out a little bit. But, that business model's working just fine for the Ricketts family right now.
Thanks, Jim. You're right. And in the end, are the Ricketts here in town to make money or to run a baseball team because they're passionate about baseball? Something you have to ask yourself.
Well, I remember when Tom told his dad, Joe Ricketts, when the recording came out, Joe Ricketts was addressing some business group. And he said, well, my son came to me and said, we should buy the Cubs. And he's like, why would I want to do that? He said, win or lose, Dad, they sell out every game. And that's what got Joe Ricketts' attention. And that's when he ponied up the money.
I think there's the answer right there, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. But look, Tom Ricketts met his wife in the bleachers, right? He was going to the University of Chicago as a student and would go out to the bleachers because he was a fan and became a Cubs fan when he came to town. But it's amazing how he's frittered away every ounce of goodwill that he earned. He was a rock star. He used to walk around. He might still walk around Wrigley.
That reminds me of another sports family in town.
Exactly right, Rocky Wirtz. Mm. And he would, Tom would, walk around, listen to fans' gripes or take their accolades, and he would sign autographs. This year, anytime a reporter asks him if he's got a minute, he says, no, not really. He keeps walking. So, it's great to be out there as a front runner when things are going great, but why don't you tell us Cub fans what the plan is, and don't tell me about we're going to spend money intelligently because we'll get to the money you're not spending right now.
312-332-3776. It comes down to what we've said before. If you don't like what you're seeing, don't support the team that is disappointing you. It's that simple. We've done that on the South Side forever.
Mm-hmm. Hold them.
Yeah.
Hold them account.
Yeah, that's right. George, he's back. From River Grove. Hey, George, you with us now?
I'm back. My front, too.
Okay, what you got, George? We're up against break. Make it quick. What you got?
No, all right. Keep George.
Number one, you got to take Tim Anderson out of the leadoff spot, put him down in the three hole. You got to get rid of Moncada, put Jake Berger over there, number one. And
he's on a rehab.
And, well, once he rehabs, you got to get rid of Moncada. He's a bust. You got to get rid of Grandal. Let Zavala play, and you'll be in a much better place. Get some pitching for those guys at the cutoff. And I don't know if you want to hear this, but as far as Ozzie is concerned, Ozzie is a fraud. He's a con game. He has a histrionic personality disorder. He's obsessed with being the center of attention at all times. And he's not a very good manager. I heard him on the, another station say, oh, I'm a good manager. The players like me. I don't want players to like me. I'm a coach. I'm there to help you be the best player you can be. And Ozzie, number one, I do not forget and I do not forgive the fact that he walked away with two games left in the season. And he never, ever gave us a postseason interview. He had the biggest payroll in the history of the White Sox, and they ended up being losers. And he never explained how he lost the clubhouse, number one. And he never explained his bizarro behavior the last 2 days of the season. And until he steps up in front of the fans and explains that and apologizes for his behavior, he will never, ever be a manager in the major leagues.
All right, period. All right, George, thanks for the phone call. Hey, look, Ozzie's not a manager now. He's a commentator. He's entertaining on NBC Sports Chicago. You know what? And you can have gripes with the past or whatever, but he's not a manager now. He just says what's on his mind, and he has a platform to do it. It's not like the Marquee Network, and he does that, and that is, you know, must-watch TV if you're a White Sox fan.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chuck is the voice of the fans, and Ozzie is, and what do you say, Tony's Rick Renteria with credentials.
Look, there are sometimes, yes, he has shocking things to say, but if you really think about what he's saying, he's not wrong. Does he have an ego? Sure he does. Oh, he's always been like that.
Yeah.
You know what? Was he responsible for the World Series team? I don't know. We're splitting hairs. You know, whatever.
That starting rotation was pretty good.
Yes, right. And we can get down the rabbit hole of how much baseball managers mean to a team and all that, which we're not going to. The point is, he was part of that team. They did win. He's an iconic here in Chicago, and he's not a manager right now. And, you know, he kind of took some lumps from that national baseball writer, Heyman, about
John
if
Heyman,
he was, if he was trying to get Tony's job by making those comments, which is really ridiculous. It's like Heyman trying to get Ozzie's job for making those comments. I mean, come on. So, yeah, there's a lot of drama, but it's must-watch TV, and that's the important part. We're taking a break here. Coming back again, Len Casper at 10 a.m. here on ESPN 1000 on your home for the Chicago White Sox. We've got somebody that wants to respond to George already. That was quick. We also have
Ozzie?
Dave in Plainfield. No, it's not Ozzie.
Oh,
well, he's calling himself Mo. Maybe it is Ozzie. And we've got Dave in Plainfield wants to jump on and talk about the White Sox, too. All of that on the way here on ESPN 1000. Be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. Len Casper coming up at 10. We've got some phone calls, Brian, I want to get through before we talk to Len. Start with Mo, wants to respond to George, who suggested we just get rid of Moncada. I'm not sure what we do with him. I'm not sure what we would get with for him. Just
not
get
much.
Rid of him. Just get rid of him. And Jake Berger putting him in there. What about Jake's defense? There's some holes there. Here's Mo from Frankfurt. Hey, Mo, what's up?
Good morning. Happy Saturday, guys.
What you got?
I never called into your show before, so I guess I'm a longtime listener, but a first-time
caller. All right,
caller.
Congrats.
Cool. Really quick, though, the guy, George, he's, come on, what's the matter to you? Like, he's good. Let him get he's getting better. He's doing awesome. He did great last two games. Come on.
He's improving slowly, but he's improving. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. And Berger, he's like, put Berger in lineup. Berger's not even playing right now.
He's rehabbing. And his defense, he needs a lot of work. And Moncada is way better defensively. I don't think that's even a question.
As a White Sox fan, a big White Sox fan. I don't come fan too, but the White Sox, baby. Let me tell you something. You have to stand behind your team. You have to go show up to the ball games. You know, the Paul Blart, the Comiskey Park, I call it still. Okay, I love going there with my kids. My kids are younger; they're 7, but they love going there. I don't know if they like going there because of the elotes and the churros they like, but whatever. But you have to go and show up. You know, you got the lovable losers up there in the north. Let them do that too. That's okay. But
no, you're right.
Stand
look,
back
look,
behind your team.
Right. If you like what you're seeing, stand behind your team. And if you want to send – thanks, Mo, for the call. If you want to send a message to your favorite team that you're not happy, you know what? I don't know if that's what Mo was saying, but, you know, send a message. Don't show up. Here's Matt in Willowbrook wants to jump in, and I think he wants to kind of further what Mo was saying. Hey, Matt, you're in Willowbrook, and you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, bud? Matt, you're with us. Hello, Matt.
Yep, I got you.
Okay. All right, bud.
Sorry, guys. Okay. Yeah, a similar point to the last guy about Moncada. I mean, everyone's got frustration with him. He makes some bonehead plays. But his defense, I mean, you got to rely on that day in and day out, and he always puts up good numbers by the end of the year. So I don't know where our replacement's coming from. Berger looks pretty.
Yeah, Berger is not the defensive guy. Look, he's bad. He's been exciting. He's a good story, but is he the guy to step in right then and there? No.
Mm-mm. No, you need Moncada to be a star for you to get to the promised land.
Right.
Absolutely. And George did say that Ozzie has his histrionic personality disorder.
Yes.
I just looked that up. That's interesting. I know George. I think George is an attorney. Maybe he does diagnoses on mental conditions on the side, but we'll get to that. But
George had a lot to say. But, Matt, we appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are some people that are kind of, and I don't disagree with you, Brian, but the story isn't over today, and we're seeing Moncada take some positive steps. Is it time to pull the parachute on him?
No.
Right now? Not at all. Not at all.
And realistically, you're not getting pitching for him.
Right. That's why it's better to stick with him. We're paying him. We're not getting out of it. We're not getting anything back from him.
You're not shipping him and all the money you would have to ship with him to get anything in return. And it wouldn't be a player that's ready to step in and help you right now.
That's right. That's right. 312-332-3776. Dave's been waiting patiently from Plainfield. What's up, Dave? You're on with Xander Hanley. Hey.
Thank you guys for taking my call. Brian, don't make me laugh any harder. You're going to be on the Saturday Night Live very soon with that comment you just made. Crack me up. I have two questions. I know I wanted to talk about Robert real quick, but if I could just say one thing about Zavala. I don't know what they're going to do next week when Glendale comes back.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take a pitcher. You're going to have to go with 12 pitchers. Because if you put Zavala on, try to designate him for assignment, he'll be stamped up quick it's not funny. No. I mean, you cannot get rid of him. And you're going to have to go with three catchers because I'm not thrilled with Grendel's defense. The other thing I wanted to talk about was Robert. You know, listen, I love Luis Robert, but I think because of his legs, I don't know what he had last night, but I know what, you know, getting a little dizzy sometimes can hurt a guy. I was just wondering, with the two outfielders they got in their farm system, Oscar Colas and Cespedes, they both have them playing center field down there. Now, I don't know whether it's a reason to move them to right field, but I'm just wondering down the road if you take a guy like Robert, maybe next year. I don't know where Colas is in the scheme of things. Probably by June of next year, will be ready to play.
Yeah, we'll see, Dave. Thanks for the phone call.
Just curious about that. Yeah, thank you, guys.
We're up against the break, so we got to move along. But, you know, interesting. Yeah, look, you know, the jury's still out. I don't know what he's dealing with. Hopefully we'll get a better sense of what's going on.
Could be dehydration, right? I mean,
could be that simple, right?
Yeah,
right? I walked around through the 70s dizzy because I didn't know how important it was to drink water, and I was always playing sports.
That may explain a lot.
And then, I was dehydrated for different reasons in the 80s. All right, time to break. We're coming back. Len Casper coming up. We'll be sure to ask him questions like what's going on with Eloy Jimenez. So many things to talk to Len Casper about. Voice of the Chicago White Sox here on ESPN 1000. We'll get to that after this.